Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by ACC Life Health Trust. Infrastructure is the topic on Capitol Hill right now, and the engineering industry is very invested in what happens. ACC's advocacy team has been working for months to build support for a robust infrastructure program and continues to work for passage. As the congressional debates drag on, however, individual engineering firms face uncertainty, unsure about how to incorporate these potentially huge infrastructure investments in their business planning. To offer context to where we are right now and to provide some guidance for engineering firms, we have Denise Peterson, Senior Director of Federal Market Analysis at Deltek, on the program. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, obviously, it can only be an educated guess, but how do you expect the negotiations over the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act to play out?
Well, I think that's a tough one to kind of figure out. But, you know, considering that it seems stalled at the moment with the argument around, you know, do they move forward with an infrastructure bill alone or tying it to a reconciliation bill? And so there's a little bit of fracture. On the Democrat side, I think that the clearest resolution to date is kind of what Biden seems to be doing, which is trying to keep those bills together to appease the progressives, but reduce the size of the reconciliation bill to appease the moderates. And so it sounds like that's where the negotiations are right now. Another thing that, you know, I'm looking out for, it's also possible that Congress could enact some, you know, selective increases within final fiscal year 2022 appropriations after, you know, the current continuing resolution expires on December 3rd. It wouldn't be anywhere near the scale, obviously, of what they're trying to do with the other ones, but we've seen this, you know, before, where if there's a massive bill that doesn't make it through, you know, folks in Congress will try to make some, you know, piecemeal or very targeted increases in select areas, kind of as a stopgap until they can get to a point where they can, you know, try that larger initiative again.
Would a possibility of that be something like the not the FAST Act, but something along the lines of reauthorizing the FAST Act?
That's exactly what that's my assumption as well. That's kind of the most obvious place to start. So I wouldn't be surprised if they looked at that.
Right. Yeah, the reconciliation bill, that's pretty big. I guess they're talking about knocking it down. Do you see it eventually, something eventually coming out of that?
You know, that's a tough one, just because the nature of what's included in the proposal around kind of your more social infrastructure, those are things that, you know, at least Democrats have been trying to accomplish for years and years and years. And I think there are things that definitely need to be addressed, but it is a very steep hill to climb. So I do think there's the potential there, if it is scaled down to kind of appease the moderates, that there's potential. I see what usually happens is start with asking for everything and then whittle it down, negotiate to kind of, you know, key areas that everyone can agree on. The question is, with something with as broad a scope as the reconciliation bill, you know, what are those key things going to be?
Yeah, and it's especially with Capitol Hill being so partisan these days, even within
right.
parties, it's tough. So yeah. I mean, these bills are huge. I mean, what impact do you see, whether they're approved as in total or as part? What impact could these have on our economy?
Well, I think really the focus there now, if they were to pass, both to pass as is, we're talking about several trillion dollars for the public and private sector for years, right? So, you know, 5 to 8 years. So, of course, I think the impetus behind, especially behind the infrastructure bill, is around job creation, right? But depending on what pieces you're looking at, it's also about, you know, competitiveness and some of the, you know, social infrastructure pieces that we talked about. So I think that the goal here is to have the impact on the economy where we have job creation in areas that can have the biggest impact, that can position the country for kind of, I guess, industries of the future. And also kind of head off some of the, I guess, kind of change gear in some of the negative direction in some of the areas that we're going, like, housing and childcare and all those pieces kind of fit together, I think. So I think if these were to pass, we would see those traditional things that we're expecting to see in terms of job creation and like transportation and power and water and broadband infrastructure, for example. But also with the reconciliation bill, it would kind of be, it would be a massive undertaking. I could see that having a very significant positive impact on the economy, which surprisingly, even though we're kind of still in the pandemic, isn't in kind of a negative place, right? Where we would have had expected it if we were using the model from like 2008, 2009. So I think this passed as is would, benefit businesses as well as citizens across the board.
Yeah, it's got something for everybody.
Yeah.
narrowing the focus a little, if something passes, especially on the infrastructure bill, what impact do you see this having for the engineering industry?
Well, I think definitely, when we look at, I talked about the public and private sector, really benefiting, the engineering industry would of course be at the top of that list, right? Because we have, potential spending boosts in areas that are typically already funded. And so that, funnels additional opportunities to engineering firms. The things I mentioned, transportation, power, water, broadband, all of that. But the reconciliation bill, if that's tacked on, addresses those social issues that I mentioned that have engineering and also construction opportunities, things like, increasing housing and climate resiliency and building efficiencies and things like that. So there's a lot in here that is really central for the engineering industry, considering what the focus of and the scope of these bills combined. It would be a lot of opportunity at the federal level as well as at the state and local level.
Yeah, one of the things has been the states have had trouble with their tax collections. They don't have the funding to work on the roads and the water systems and such that they had before. This would really sort of open that up again, I would imagine.
Definitely. I think, there's maybe a settling period because, my colleague on the state and local side has talked quite a bit about states. It may not be the case anymore, but I know there was concerns about all of the pandemic money that they received and just having the infrastructure in place to get those dollars out the door. And then we add on, what will hopefully emerge from these two bills. That may be one kind of challenging area is just, not the dollars issue as much as it was in the past. It's getting the dollars out the door, given the current, infrastructure for that.
That's an excellent point. As I mentioned in the intro, engineering firms, individual engineering firms, they're sort of, sitting and waiting, trying to figure out what to do here. What thoughts do you have about, recommendations for firms that are dealing with this uncertainty?
I think there's a number of things, and ideally, they'd already be doing these things, but things like assessing their opportunity pipeline. I focus mainly with federal contractors, but I think across the board, just looking at the impact on things like continuing resolutions that can create bottlenecks at the beginning of a fiscal year with federal, and I imagine the same for state and local governments, where there's potential for delayed decisions by some decision makers in agencies about projects. So this is the time where they'd be looking at, should I wait on that because I think we're going to get additional funding in this infrastructure bill, or do we roll ahead with regular appropriations? And so, what happens a lot when you look back after the fact at the historical data, when you have that scenario, you see some bottlenecking on the front end, right? And so companies that were preparing for a certain landscape in their opportunity pipeline have to continually adjust that. And so that's something I think companies hopefully are already doing, but if they're not, they really should be looking at that. Not just to kind of look at the impact on what they were already aware of, but definitely staying aware of what's happening with these bills. And, you know, another recommendation in line with that is just about engagement. So being ready to recommend shovel-ready projects when the infrastructure bill hits, because what's I think is going to happen is that we have so many projects that have been shelved because of lack of funding, that those are the first ones that, you know, it makes sense that they, that agencies would look to if they have additional funding. And, you know, firms that are engaged with clients about that, what that looks like, what those projects are, I think is critical. And the last thing I would say is around like resource scenario planning. So if these bills were to pass, would your firm be in a position to pursue those additional opportunities? You know, would the criteria be the same, you know, that it is the normal course of business about what you choose to pursue? And, you know, how do you feel about your talent pool given we're in this kind of great resignation environment? So just thinking about, I think, different scenarios, because it is really difficult to kind of predict what's going to happen in this scenario, given the scale and scope of what Biden is trying to do. So just kind of thinking through how would we function in, you know, these two or three different scenarios, and just being prepared for that, and being ready when the dollars come flowing.
But I guess at the base of all that is that something is going to pass eventually. There is going to be some dollars are going to flow eventually. We just don't know when or how much.
I do think that the infrastructure bill, given that it's a less partisan bill, will likely pass. You know, it's smaller. It's kind of building on the priority areas that are already there, you know, that had already been funded and authorized. So the odds of that passing to me seem pretty high. The issue is that, is it going to be hamstrung by the reconciliation bill? So on its own, it's highly passable.
It says something that something over $1 trillion can be described as small.
It is. Billions is pocket change around here.
That's where it is. A little billion here, a billion there. You start talking about real money. Looking at the actual stuff in the bills. Does the money start, if the bill passes on October 31st, does the money start flowing on November 1st, or are we looking at something months down the line before people start seeing the money showing up in the states?
That, I hate to say it, but it depends. That's the answer that nobody likes, but, you know, it depends on the type of money and kind of the, as we talked about before, the readiness of the recipient, right? So, you know, it's a fairly straightforward process to get the funds that have been flagged for state and local grants to the states. Mm-hmm. Whether they're ready to handle it and get it out the door is another thing. And I would say about, you know, we're calculating about 2/3 of the infrastructure bill funding would go down to the state and local level. And then, of course, we have, you know, variability by state as well. So we kind of have to keep an eye on that. At the federal level, again, I think it depends on the focus area. You know, for the more traditional work, it's probably likely to flow a bit faster than those where there may be assessments required or reviews required or new offices stood up. So there's sprinkling of that in there as well. And so that may slow those projects down a little bit. But then we have those projects that qualify as, you brought up the FAST, you know, qualify as FAST 41 projects eligible for kind of streamlined federal, you know, environmental review. You know, those could move faster. And then it also depends on how many, if you look at an agency's portfolio, what percentage of that is shovel ready, quote unquote, shovel ready versus not. And so if we have to build in requirements, development, and go through the whole acquisition process, the dollars, you know, will be there in the treasury, but that can slow down how quickly, you know, the complexity of that can slow down how quickly that gets out to contractors.
Yeah, there was a lot of back in the 2010, whenever that last when Obama was trying to push through. I guess it was after 2010, maybe, when he was getting the infrastructure bill through. There was a lot of criticism about the whole idea of shovel ready. These bills are a little longer lived, so shovel ready might be the first tranche, but after that, the funding will continue for more, for lack of a better term, deserving projects.
Yeah, I think because, you know, when we look at each line item in the infrastructure bill, you know, they're breaking out funding through 2026. And so, you know, if agencies, if there's a project and they've been funded that amount and they're able to address kind of the near term need in years one and two of that funding, then, you know, there is flexibility to look at some of the bigger, more complex, longer term, you know, projects. You know, I it's hard to tell at this point how many agencies have that kind of long-term plan in place. We see that being a strategy in many different markets in the federal space where, you know, additional money will show up, but agencies really aren't expecting it. And so they don't have kind of a long-term strategy for how they're going to use it, you know, especially more than 2 or 3 years out. So that's, I think that is an interesting point that the way agencies prioritize the use of the funds will be interesting to watch. And if there's this perspective of, do we approach the big complex stuff now that we know we're gonna have funding for this? Or should we do the little stuff now? You know, and shelve the bigger stuff because we think it may extend beyond FY26 or something. You know, there's complexity in those decisions, and I don't know that every agency has kind of really developed a strategy that far out.
But it's not a bad decision to have to make as long as the funds are flowing, I guess.
Exactly, and it's not one that they have to make frequently, is it?
Yeah. So great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. This has been great. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And you've been listening to the Engineering Influence Podcast presented by ACEC and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. Thanks for listening.